task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
My fellow Americans, obviously not the president, and obviously we're not going to get that kind of an opening to the 250th anniversary of our country from this president, which is sad. But it is our 250th anniversary, and for our big, messy, glorious, terrible, wonderful, astounding, confusing, frustrating country, this beautiful republic, this glorious democracy, we deserve better than what we have right now. I think we all know that. I don't think that's even a partisan statement anymore. I think a lot of people get it. They get what's wrong. I want to talk to you about this moment that we're in, this astounding moment. Because for every one of its flaws, in every one of its eras, there have been people who understood the tremendous legacy we have all inherited and who loved this country unreservedly. And this comes home to me because you can love something that's imperfect. Thank God, right? You can be loved if you are imperfect. You can love someone who is imperfect. And that's how I feel about this country. And always have. I get emotional about this country. I get moved. I tear up about it sometimes. Because as flawed as everything has been in the last decade, as horrible as this last decade has been, there is still a country worth loving, worth treasuring, worth fighting for, even worth dying for. And luckily, most of us are never, ever, ever going to be called to make that last extremity. For 250 years, men and women who were called answered it, paid with their lives. And our gratitude for that legacy, I believe, is one of the most important ways we can be Americans. That gratitude and that understanding of what we are, not the glib, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. We're not a republic, we're a democracy. Not that glib stuff, okay? No country tells a story in a straight line. It's not linear. It's not an explicit curve from one point to another. They vary, they diverge, they turn, they jig, they jag. And those things happen to all countries, and it's happened to ours. People who don't love this country tend to not love it because they have an imagined reason or a real reason that's in their head. And they can't shake that ideation. They can't say, did we change? They can't say, are we better now? They can't say, did we own it? Because folks, we've owned it. The fundamental flaw of our founding, as we talked about a million times, was the terrible, horrible problem of slavery, where millions of people, about 500,000 during the revolutionary period, were enslaved. There's no excusing it. There's no moral fix for it. But even our founders understood this was a problem from hell that would haunt us until we did. And it cost us 600,000 lives in the Civil War. And a lot of the folks that died in that war, in the Union side, they weren't just thinking about it as a military campaign. Many of them understood at that point, as the world was coming to understand, that chattel slavery was a singular evil. And in Britain, William Wilberforce, prior and contemporaneously with our revolution, was advocating for the abolition of slavery. And the British then fought after the Napoleonic Wars against slavery in the slave trade coming out of the coast of Africa for a long time. And we sustained it for a long time. But that civil war should be a moment of enormous pride for America, not the lost cause Confederacy bullshit, but the fact that people were willing to put their lives on the line, to sacrifice in enormous numbers, in terrifying conditions, to end an evil that we knew we would pay a price for from the very beginning. We paid that price. And it was incomplete. We marched on slowly through the civil rights era, and we're still trying to fix a lot of these things today. But the country that laid down 600,000 lives, which, by the way, today would be the equivalent of about 5 or 6 million soldiers dying in the war, which is more than America's ever lost in every conflict we've ever been in by far. We've become over and over again a better and different country. When my German ancestors came to this country in the 1830s, they were the scum of the earth. They were the scum of the earth. Like, oh, why are we letting those people in? You know what? Because there's always some scum of the earth come to America. And the magic of America, unlike what Stephen Miller believes, that somehow your patriotism is a genetic component of your upbringing, you become an American. And the scum of the earth that came over and over again, they were the Chinese who built those railroads from the west to the east. They were the Germans. They were the Poles. They were the Lithuanians. They were the Italians and the Jews and the Vietnamese after the Vietnam War. And over again, we've said these people will never become Americans. And the folks who've been coming up here over the border since the very beginning of this country from Mexico and becoming Americans. This belief that people don't become Americans, that we are not a propositional nation, is fundamentally disproven by history. Over and over and over again, it has been disproven by history. That is the magic in 250 years of this beautiful country. That people come here, and that first generation still has one foot in their home country. And they still speak the language, and they still make the recipes from the home country. And that second generation, it's a little more titled. They're becoming Americans. They're seeing the benefit of it, the freedom, the opportunity, the security of a country with a rule of law, not the rule of one king. And that third generation, those kids are Americans. They're Americans. They may remember. They may hear grandpa speaking a few words from the old country. But they're Americans. That's the beautiful thing this country does. That's the amazing thing this country does. We transform people into Americans. It is a grace. It is a mighty gift. And this idea that we somehow have this blood and soil nationalism ahead of us is a trap and a lie and a delusion shared by weak men, led by a weak man. And that is in some ways why people look at this anniversary as something to be ashamed of. There's a sense that we failed, that the great American experiment is no more, that the propositional nation that created generations after generations of Americans cannot survive what we're experiencing now. And there are times in my dark moments, I feel the same way, folks. I won't bullshit you on that. There are days I wake up and like, how the F are we going to get out of this? How are we going to stop this? What are we going to do next? What's the one solution? What's the magical step we need to take to save this country? And the answer and the lesson from history is there is no magical step. There's just one foot in front of the other. There is no wizardry here. There is no alchemical secret. You just got to keep doing the work. You got to get up every day. You got to go to work and you got to vote. You got to love your family. You got to be a part of your community. And that's something that a lot of us, and I am absolutely a late in life guy to engage in a lot of the things happening in my own town, my own neighborhood. I admit it. I raced like lightning for 35 years of my career, always on the go, always in a plane, always in a car, always go, 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 go. And I've started to believe that democracy at home, right in your neighborhood, right in your town, right in your county, might make the bigger difference than what happens in DC. But we have to make a commitment to this country. And making a commitment to the country is a commitment to ourselves. It is a commitment to our families. It is a commitment to our children and our grandchildren. I have a granddaughter. She is going to grow up in a very different world. In a few days, well, about 3 weeks from now, I will have a grandson. He's going to grow up in a very different world. And there are things ahead that require Americans to get out of this defeatist mindset, to get out of this idea that nothing can be fixed. Because we are Americans. We have taken on shit in our history that would have reduced other nations to rubble or to apathy or to a fetal position on the floor weeping. We have taken on things, not just military challenges, but challenges to ourselves. When we talk about extending the franchise to women, when we talk about extending civil rights to African Americans, when we talk about building a country that made a harsh, hard transition from merely industrial to technological. We have done hard things and we can do hard things. You know, it's always sort of a shorthand. People, we put a man on the moon. Yeah, we did. But you know what it took to do that? It took a belief in ourselves. It took a belief in this country. It took a belief that the system we have built, which included a lot of immigrants in that effort, some of whom came from some relatively dodgy antecedents, it took a belief we could do it. It took a belief that we could vaccinate every American kid against polio, and we did. It took a belief that we could build aircraft that could span first about 90 feet at Kitty Hawk, and then the globe, and then rocket into space. It took a belief in ourselves and our country to understand that after World War II, we could educate a prosperous generation. We could build an infrastructure in the country that would support a global economy that would be unrivaled for decades. It took the challenge of a corrupt president being brought down during Richard Nixon to remind Americans that politicians work for us, and they should be held accountable. We have done the hard things. Over and over again, we have done the hard things. Some of you won't remember it or care about it. We ended the Cold War without the nuclear exchange that we dreaded for 70 fucking years. We fought AIDS and HIV around the globe with massive efforts here at home and PEPFAR throughout Africa and the rest of the world, and almost brought it to a standstill. We fed people who were hungry here and around the world. We told old people, you don't have to die in the dark and the cold. That commitment we've made before has to be renewed. We have to keep making that commitment to this country. We face challenges coming up on us that are astounding. But they are not beyond our grasp. They are not beyond our reach. They are not beyond our control. We have to deal with AI. We have to deal with corruption. We have to deal with a corporate direction in America that is burning free markets to the ground and will impoverish us all if we are not very careful. We have to deal with public corruption at every level, by the way, from the president all the way down to your local county commissioner who's taking an envelope full of money under the fucking table to approve a zoning variance, top to bottom. We have to revive what we think of as education in this country. We have to revive a sense that Americans want a future. You know, there's a big demographic effect happening all over the world, but in America, very, very starkly, people aren't having babies. They're just not having kids anymore. And you can ask yourself, oh, why won't this, why isn't this happening? And you can blame a lot of different things. But when people don't feel hopeful about a future, they don't want to bring kids into it. One of the commitments we need to make as Americans is to regain our sense of optimism about the future. To know we can build something better. To know we can be something better. I look at that long road ahead. My kids and my grandkids will be walking on long after I'm gone. And I think about this country 50 years from now at our 300th anniversary. And who knows, maybe with DNA and altering and other things, maybe we'll make it. Maybe we'll all be alive then. Who knows? This, the miracles and wonders that can be ahead of us have to be earned. They have to be based on the things that were here at the beginning, a constitutional system of government, people with a voice that their elected officials would listen to, a commitment, no matter where you came from, or your grandfather came from, or your father came from, or your mother came from, that if you're an American citizen, you have inalienable rights. We've got to return to a commitment in this country that the enemy is not the guy who came here fleeing from a war-torn foreign land. The enemy is the person who tells you they can never be an American. The enemy is the person that tells you our system is flawed and weak and that we're so delicate that unless it's just white dudes in charge, that will collapse. The enemy is somebody who thinks that an ethnic or religious background will always outweigh the incredible propositional inheritance of America to make people Americans. You know, there's a political movement in this country that calls itself America First, but they're really not. They're depressing, frankly. They're revanchist, they're paranoid, they're backward looking, they're so delicate. Their feelings are hurt so easily. They run from everything about modernity. They run from everything about a society that doesn't look exactly like a version of America that never really existed. And those are the people who've been in charge for about a decade. And I had to tell you one thing about them that you should really think about. They never do the big, hard things. They never take on the big, big fights. Americans punch up, not down. Americans lift people up. We don't kick them down. Being an American in the 50 years from now, I don't know what it will look like. No one does. But it will be there for us, for our kids and our grandkids, if we believe that we can survive another 50 years. If we work to eliminate the things that would prevent it. If we hold ourselves to account every day for the gift and the burden and the blessing of American citizenship. Like I said, folks, I get emotional about this country. And I fought a long, long 10-year struggle against the people that have been trying to tear it apart. It's not over yet. It's going to take a bit longer. But I can see the finish line way out there in the horizon. I can see the America that starts to put itself back together. That starts to give a damn about surviving, not just enough to get by, but enough to be proud, enough to be strong, enough to know that we are always capable of repairing the most grievous harms, that we are always capable of getting back on the horse, that we are always capable of being Americans and of passing along this stupendous legacy, this astounding gift our fathers and forefathers way back, all the way back to the guys who sat there in Philadelphia and worked and worked and worked to find a way to build this nation. And again, if you hate this country because of the flaws that it's had, but you don't think you're going to put in the work to fix them, you're not living up to the dream of what this country can and should be. If you believe that the stain of slavery in the beginning permanently invalidates America as an idea, move elsewhere. Because very few other countries have done what we have done to address the wrongs. And every cycle, every year, every generation, every decade, we come up with a new list of things we've effed up, a new list of mistakes we've made, a new list of problems we've caused, a new list of things that didn't go right, we didn't do well enough on. We will always have that list. It is the national honeydew list. It will never stop coming. But not every nation is like America, where not only do we keep that list, but we keep trying to whittle it down. We keep trying to do the right thing. It doesn't have to be linear. It doesn't have to be every time you get a gold star. The fact that we keep doing it is part of this amazing gift and this amazing legacy that we keep handing down one generation after another. And I hope and I pray that this country will understand that 50 years from now, you, me, your neighbors, your friends, your family, never broke with our love to this country. Never believed that it was so bad and so polluted and so broken that we had to abandon it. God bless America. God bless every single one of you. Have a wonderful 4th of July. And will we all be back in the fight next week? Thanks, folks.